Leaders in the Main Conference, St. Helena, California, January 17, 1910. To the leaders in the Main Conference. Dear brethren, the importance of the work in Portland, Maine is kept before me. I am glad that a house of worship is being erected in that city. The Lord will be pleased if all our brethren in the Maine Conference will make a solemn covenant with Him to work unitedly to complete this building. There are some who should use their influence to advance the work, who have been under temptation because they were not consulted more with reference to the work. To these brethren, I am bidden to say, if you think that mistakes have been made, let not this become a cause of division. Let a unity of purpose and of sympathy be a strength and a help in the raising of the necessary means for the church building that is so much needed in the city of Portland. Some mistakes may have been made, but let not any who profess to believe the truth refuse to cooperate with their brethren who are struggling to erect this memorial. This work should be carried forward in righteousness and gladness, yourselves giving of your means and your influence to help to complete that which needs yet to be done. Now is the time for those who think that some things have not been done just right to show themselves Christians. Let not the enemy use anyone to hinder a work that should be completed without unnecessary delay. The Lord is not pleased with the course of men who, when an important enterprise is to be carried forward, stand back in the harness and refuse to lend their aid. The providence of God will be seen if all will come humbly to the feet of Jesus and seek to remove from their hearts anything that is objectionable. The God of Israel desires you to unite your prayers and let your work be prompted by hearts full of love and confidence. The Lord does not require means of those who have it not to give. Poverty is not so great a difficulty in the advancement of the Lord's work as is the manifestation of self. The living Christ alone can deal with the selfish dispositions of men who are determined to have their own way. The Lord is waiting to see self-esteem and self-confidence broken down. I beseech of our brethren to fast and pray, if necessary, till every difference be removed, till self be subdued, and there results a sweet spirit of harmony. The Lord calls upon every soul to come into unity with their brethren and to fit themselves for service in the Lord's work, that the enemy may not be their master. Now is an opportune time to clear the king's highway and to crucify self. Now is an acceptable time to correct weakness of character. The message given me for our people is, ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land. Deuteronomy 6, verse 17, 18. A new era is to begin for the Maine Conference. While the old hands have struggled faithfully and have done what they could in their old age and feebleness, they cannot now accomplish all that needs to be done. It is for the glory of God that the work in Maine shall go forward with increased strength. Let not the older laborers feel hurt because younger and stronger men are now called to the front to act the part that God would give them. There is need of strong, spiritual workers to bear the burdens of office. Let all now seek to discover and to remove the defects in their character. God requires everyone to do His will under His guidance. Let each one faithfully perform his individual work, not refusing cooperation, even if the brethren have done things imperfectly. The work must blend in unity. All the money on earth cannot buy the blessing of God. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Into our daily practice we must bring sound doctrine. Under the reception of the Holy Spirit, No careless words will be spoken. We are to be sanctified by the truth. The requirements of God we are to regard, not as a cause of fear or dread, but as a means of sanctification through the Spirit. Not merely as a law in its terrors to be urged upon the mind, but as a mark of the divine love expressed by Christ.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. His love for sinners led Christ to take upon his divine soul the penalty of transgressors and to bear their punishment, thus making it possible for the sinner, through the grace revealed in his behalf and through repentance, to become partaker of the divine nature. The love, the pity, and the compassion of Christ is revealed in his entreaties and in his invitations, in the expression of his longing to bring every soul into unity with God. Yet the perversity of the natural heart often leads men to refuse the proffered blessing, and unconverted minds are steeled against the knowledge of the free salvation of God. Many who profess to believe the truth are not genuinely converted, and they do not in their lives reveal the sanctification of the truth. They do not practice Christ's love, Christ's tenderness. His great sacrifice produces no thanksgiving. No expressions of gratitude flow from their lips. There seems to be no response from the heart, and there is not a revelation of the sanctifying grace of God. The truth of God in all its sanctifying grace would make them sweet in disposition, kind, and true. But the grace of Christ has not molded and fashioned their entire being. Whatever a man's profession may be, he is not a Christian unless the grace of truth is appreciated and the example of Christ is followed out in words and actions. The question to be considered is, has he, as a professed believer, submitted his will to the will of God? Our dispositions are to be molded by the truths that are given us in the Word of God. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf, for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1-8. These words describe the condition of truly converted souls. The Lord has seen fit to open before me some of the advantages of your having a good church building in one of the most beautiful sections of Portland. I feel anxious to do all in my power to encourage our churches to help in the enterprise. When our brethren in Maine, who should feel most keenly the burden of this enterprise, show that they are united in doing all they can to help the work forward, others may be found whose hearts are willing to invest means in the completion of the meeting house in Portland. We do not know where all the means is to come from, but if all will seek to act their part, God will vindicate their faith. If God's people had always been quick to recognize his dealings with them, the Lord would have made straight paths for their feet. But obstacles are not an indication that the work should not be done. The people of God anciently and in more recent years have been obliged to struggle through difficulties and discouragements. The old veterans of the cross experienced great hardships and trials in placing the work on a sure foundation. David learned wisdom from God's dealings with him and bowed in humility when reproved and chastened by the Most High. The law of the Lord is perfect,
converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. We are not to give way to despair if the Holy Spirit points out to us our transgressions and our imperfections of character. God is powerful to save every repentant soul. The words of inspiration are given for our comfort. Even the patriarchs and apostles were subject to reproof because of their weaknesses, yet they took heed to the messages that came to them and, through faith, obtained a good report. They received the correction of the Lord, and He fought their battles for them. In His strength, they conquered gloriously. We are anxious to do what we can to help forward the work in Portland. The building of a meeting house there means much more than many suppose. Let all come into harmony, and let the world see what can be done by a few earnest Christians. The Lord, who knows the end from the beginning, will exalt the true heroes of the faith.